Welcome back for the second hour of Issues Etc. This is the last live hour of Open Lines in the week, Thursday. Whenever we do Open Lines on Thursdays, you can count on it, last live hour of Open Lines for the week. The question I've laid on the table has to do with spanking your kids. Now, I can't remember when the decision was taken between my wife and I. I think it was even before we got married. Even before we had children. We had a long engagement. Long time. It was like 2.5 years we were engaged. I was still going to school. She was still going to school, waiting for me to graduate, and then finally for her to graduate. She was a year behind me. And we had conversations, like all courting couples will when they know they're headed toward the altar, about kids and about the kind of family you were raised in and that sort of stuff. I was raised in a family of 5 boys. Mom was the only girl. Dad, he was the kind of dad that did not raise his voice. He didn't. Maybe I'm just got rose-colored memories here, but I don't remember him yelling. Mom did a fair amount of yelling, but I don't remember my dad yelling. But if he got up out of the chair, you were in trouble. You kind of knew when you'd pushed it too far, when Dad got up out of the chair. When he engaged, things were in trouble. And we heard a lot of, you're going to get it when your father gets home. There's no abuse, none whatsoever, but there was spanking. We knew that if we pushed it, if we managed to dodge Mom's hairbrush as we scampered down the hall when we were in trouble with her, there would be something waiting for us when Dad got home. And my dad was a genius of administering corporal punishment. He always put the most guilty party at the end of the line, had them wait outside the bedroom door so that he could hear the other kids. When they were getting their spankings, the most guilty party, which was usually me, sitting at the end of the line, listening to the other kids getting spanked. He knew that the anticipation of the punishment, and it was punishment. We're so afraid of that word nowadays, punishment. He knew that the anticipation of the punishment was as bad, if not worse, than the actual punishment itself. And you know, to tell you the truth, the spankings never really hurt that bad. It was the whole arduous ordeal of the, and, you know, I gotta hand it to him. He knew how to spank his kids. He didn't leave marks. He was very judicious. We didn't get spanked for everything. In fact, I think if my memories were accurate, which they never are, if I could go back, there were probably only a couple handfuls of times when the spankings were administered, beyond just the quick swat, cut that out kind of a thing that parents give their kids. So I was raised in a family where spanking was part of the discipline and part of the punishment process. And it never went beyond that. There was never any, it never got out of hand, ever. And I don't think my dad was ever even mad when he was doing it. He always kind of had a little smile on his face, in fact, because he planned the whole thing. All right. What does the Bible have to say about spanking your kids? My wife and I, early on, as I was saying just a moment ago, took the decision, against which I was initially resistant, to not make spanking a policy of discipline in our home. Now, when the kids actually showed up, that rule has bent a couple times and broken on several occasions. Both of our kids have been spanked. But as a general policy, we do not spank our kids. I remember mentioning that on the air, and someone called in and said, I can't believe it, Pastor Wilkin. I have such respect for you and your opinions, and here I find out you don't spank your kids, and I don't know if I can trust you on matters disciplinary or matters pertaining to fatherhood and parenthood any longer, because you don't spank your kids as a matter of policy. And I imagine there are many others who reacted exactly the same way. So what does the Bible have to say? That's my question for you during Open Lines during this hour. Does the Bible mandate corporal punishment from Christian parents when it comes to their kids? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Those are our call-in numbers. I'd like your answer to that very question. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And, of course, once the questions begin, they have a way of taking on a life of their own. So there are other questions that I've thought of in advance here that are obviously related to this one, but we'll wait for your answer to the initial question. What does the Bible have to say about spanking your kids? We'll start out with an internet listener in Oneida, South Dakota. Brian is on the line. Brian, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
Very well.
Good. You know, it's interesting to me that people often take something so far out of context and don't really understand what the meaning behind it is. You know, when the Bible says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him, you have to remember the word, the key word there is discipline, not rod. And withholding discipline from somebody means that you do not love them, because everybody needs discipline. The Bible does not require corporal punishment, however, it does allow it. You have to remember that the word spares means withhold, not just doesn't use, but withholds the punishment, the discipline.
Okay, so you're looking at the classic passage, which is Proverbs 13:24.
Yeah, which is the one that most people will point to, either that or spare the rod and spoil the child. You know, they will talk about that, and you know, if you understand what is being said, what is really being said there is, if you don't discipline your children, they will be spoiled.
Okay, and all right. I have one question for you before I let you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And in perusing the Bible passages that pertain to this, and quite a few websites, by the way, folks, hang on here, Brian, quite a few websites where they said the Bible says you must corporally discipline your children. You must spank them. There's no two ways about it. And they cite the passage that Brian's talking about here, as well as others. I did notice, however, that even those websites tended to always go for the Bible translation, usually the Amplified Version. It's not a translation, it's just more of a paraphrase,
right,
and commentary. They went with the Amplified Version to kind of, they were even apparently uncomfortable with this whole rod idea. Rod. Then I came across this passage, and I just want to know what you think about it, Brian. Proverbs 23, beginning at 13, do not withhold discipline from the child. And then it gets very specific. It says, for if you strike him and punish him with the rod, he will not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, it sounds more specific. How do you respond to that one?
It is more specific. However, let me get that up here.
That's a Proverbs 23:13. 13 and 14, yes.
If you look at, and one of the main things I'm doing is I'm looking at the root Hebrew words.
Please do, yes.
And the root Hebrew words talk about withholding, keep back, refraining, or denying. It does not talk about you must use a rod to beat your child. It talks about you must not withhold discipline. You know, and if you use versions such as the Amplified Version, yeah, you're going to get some things where it says you must do this, because that's a version that has the focus on the law instead of the gospel.
That's a good point, Brian.
And if you're, you know, there are times when you need to use the law with your children. For example, when our oldest daughter, who's now 21, was a year and a half old, we had her buckled in her car seat in the car while my wife and I, stupidly, but as normal parents often will, got out of the car, walked across the street to talk to her mother. To my wife's mother, and our daughter wanted to go with us, so she got out, unbuckled from her car seat and out of the car, and came within 6 inches of being hit by a gravel truck. Now, explaining to her how she could have been seriously hurt or killed by a gravel truck at 18 months does nothing, but spanking she understands at that age. There becomes an age when spanking is no longer necessary, when they can reason and understand. And that is how you have to discern the differences. A child who can understand and reason, and you can use other punishments rather than corporal punishment, that's what you do.
Brian, thank you very much. I appreciate your comments. All right, what about the rest of you? Brian says, look, the point in these passages, and there are others too, we'll get to them here in just a moment, the point in these passages is discipline, not the method of discipline, and he was very clear to point out, while the Bible permits corporal punishment from parents to children, it does not mandate it or require it. What about the rest of you? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. He also points out there does come a point, you know, I remain my father's son up until this day. My dad doesn't spank me anymore. He doesn't. I'm 40 years old. He doesn't spank me anymore. But I'm still his son. So there is a point at which the spanking does stop if it begins. Paul is next. He's calling from his car. Paul, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. How you doing?
Very well.
I was wondering if there shouldn't be a distinction made with respect to some of the scriptures being used. For example, some of the proverbs that are being mentioned in kind of classical texts. And while they're certainly fully authoritative as divinely inspired scripture, I wonder if we should make the distinction between what is a proverb and what is absolute, concrete moral law. I mean, these proverbs obviously are not a part of the Decalogue. So as far as it being binding on a person to use, for example, you know, spanking, whatever various ways you would do that. But I personally use spanking with my own children. I think properly used in the right context, it's effective and biblical, but it certainly is something that can be, as with anything that's proper and good, it can be terribly abused, and it is. It's often the reason why many argue against it, unfortunately. But I was just curious to ask you, Todd, since you said in you use other forms of discipline in lieu of spanking, and I think the important point you made with the caller or whoever you spoke with before who had, was disappointed in you that you had that you don't practice that in your family. I guess it's important to say that the point that you, in fact, said you have in the past used it, and you're not against it in principle. So, but I'm curious of what forms, other forms of discipline do you typically use from day to day to discipline your children in lieu of using spanking?
You're looking for parenting hits, Paul? Because I don't have any parenting hints for you there. Other forms of discipline, obviously there's verbal discipline. I mean, To correct and rebuke a child verbally is also a form of discipline. They call these things timeouts. I don't know why. My dad just said, go to your room. But nowadays, they call them timeouts. I guess that makes them sound more pleasant or something like that. Taking things away from the child or restricting their activities. I mean, those are a few off the top of my head that are kind of in the regular arsenal. All of them, to one degree or another, when my daughter first discovered instant messaging, taking instant messenger away and off the computer was an extremely effective form of punishment. She would writhe on the floor in pain. You would have thought I'd given her a spanking. All I'd done was take away one of her means of communication. And in my own childhood, I remember being grounded on many occasions and having things taken away, privileges withheld all over the place. So, you know, there are always the whole arsenal, even if a parent does spank, there's a whole arsenal of disciplinary methods as well. And I'll tell you what, my kids think I'm some disciplinarian. I seldom, if ever, lay a hand on them, but they think I'm some disciplinarian. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Okay, the caller said that spanking was biblical, and I think he's saying the same thing the previous caller was saying, where it is allowed but not mandated. Is it unbiblical not to spank your kids? Is it a violation of Scripture to not spank your kids? It's the other way of asking, is it required of Christian parents they administer corporal punishment with their children? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Very quickly, he points out that the passages that are cited often come from Proverbs. And yes, we do need to say when a proverb is a proverb, like heaping burning coals upon your enemy's head. It says the way that sometimes it talks about a fool being treated. These are proverbial sayings not intended. I don't think Scripture is recommending that we actually heap burning coals upon our enemies' heads. you know, you are kind to them, and thereby you heap burning coals upon their heads. A proverbial saying. And that distinction does need to be made. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Herman, who calls from Illinois. Herman, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to your earlier programs on the Mormon sect and the speaker about the questions, and it occurred to me that you look at Mormons, and there's a similarity between Mormons and the Jesus Seminar liberal types, and that is this. They use extra-biblical sources to diminish Scripture in contrast to Scripture as divinely given, interpreting itself within what it is given. For the Mormons, they use what is acclaimed as a supernatural source, and for the liberals, it's a secularization. But they both accomplish the same thing in that they diminish the givenness and the stature of Scripture. It's interesting to see where they're going. Within one compound, they're putting underage girls under duress to draw welfare from the government for children and so forth. And on the other hand, you have a general promiscuity proclaimed by many of these liberal types and the movements that they have in their denominations now. And it seems to go to the same thing, but it uses a different structure. On one hand, it's an acclaimed supernatural, the Book of Mormon and other revelations, and then you have a polyglot of secular authorities and credentialing of supposed scholarship that's supposed to hold in there.
Herman, it's a good point. Thank you very much. I had not thought of it in those terms before, and he's right. And they both end up in the same place, essentially in the same kinds of sins, be it promiscuity because of the quote-unquote liberal abandonment of God's word, or because of adding to, either taking away, of course, or adding to. But whether your reason for thwarting God's word is of human origin, that is, you think, well, we just know better, we have a rational basis for denying these things, or whether you claim some sort of supernatural origin for thwarting God's word. And, you know, it's not only the Mormons, there are a lot of evangelical Christians that have their own supernatural sources in addition to God's word. Their own experiences, they elevate those to supernatural revelation, and they use it to undo God's word. But it all ends up in the same place, excusing our sin. And when we do that, of course, what we're really doing is striking at the very heart of the one who paid the price for our sins at the cross. Let's talk with Scott. He's calling from his car. Hi, Scott.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to point out that the objective behind discipline is to bring about repentance. And that occasionally you might have a child that less pain brings forth the repentant attitude than another child who needs more pain. So I just thought I'd point that out to you.
Thank you very much. Now there's pain and there's pain. There's physical pain, and then there is the kind of pain which is sometimes more difficult to bear than even physical pain. I mentioned before, I mean, it's a trivial example, but I mentioned before my daughter having instant messenger withheld. The pain that she thought she was missing out on this instant web of communication with her friends. Oh, they're all talking and I'm not part of the conversation was unbearable to her. I think she probably would have rather have gotten a spanking at that time because the physical pain would have been cheesecake compared to being left out of the conversation. But let's not make the mistake that he's right. The goal of discipline is with the Christian parent is to bring about repentance. We're not just there to make them sorry they did it. We want them to understand that what has happened here is sin, either sin by way of they did something that is really, truly wrong in God's eyes, or maybe something that's neither right or wrong in God's eyes. But your parents said don't, like staying up too late. Does God say children have to go to bed at 9 o'clock? No. But if the kid is sneaking out and watching television until midnight in the living room while the parents are happily sleeping, it's not broken God's law per se, but he has by disobeying his parents. It's a sin. And the only proper Christian response to sin is repentance. We don't ignore it. We don't explain it away. We don't make excuses for it. We don't justify it. We repent. Now, children need to be taught to repent as we need to be taught to repent. Even adults need to be taught to repent. And that's what, you know, that really is the goal. When we talk about bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, think about it. The spanking or the discipline is a tool in that, toward that end. It's not just sitting there with the Bible around the fire hearth and reading Old Testament stories to your children. That is part and parcel of it. But it's also teaching your children that there is a right and a wrong, and that, as we had Mark Sell point out so beautifully yesterday, God has placed parents next to himself in authority. And it's where the children get their first image, picture of God. So forgiveness does not depend upon whether or not we've experienced pain. The goal here is repentance, of course. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The question persists. So far, people are saying, yeah, the Bible permits but does not require that you spank your kids. What about the rest of you? Ellen is calling from Baldwin. Hi, Ellen.
Hello, Pastor Wilkin. I'm glad that you're discussing this subject, because when it came up on your program a couple of weeks ago, I thought it never really got resolved, and it was too late for me to call in and give my two cents worth. But if we believe as Lutherans that Scripture interprets Scripture, it seems to me if a husband is treating his wife in a scriptural manner, as Christ treats his bride, the church, there is going to be such an atmosphere of love and respect in the home that perhaps there are strong-willed children that need a tap on the seat. But by the time they're three or four, there's a good, healthy fear. I mean, we talk about the fear of the Lord. That's just a good, healthy respect. That all it takes is a stern look and maybe the shake your finger in their face even. This has been the word disciple, discipline. I mean, it's all scriptural, but it actually begins in a good, healthy marriage. If a husband and wife are screaming at each other, you're going to have a bunch of unruly children carrying on in that manner. And so I don't know if I'm correct here, but when they say Scripture interprets Scripture, I kind of wonder if that's kind of another part of it. And I'll hang up and listen to your comment.
All right, but Ellen, before I let you go,
yes?
Given what you said there, if a Christian parent then says, okay, after the age of three or four, they're still spanking their kid at 10 or 11, does it become sin?
Well, it just seems like by that time they should have been able to get through to the child, unless if they have some type of a learning disability or a definite attention deficit disorder. People I've known that are, they get these big kids and they're still swatting them. And I'm 69 years old.
Ellen, so. I got to let you go because our time runs short here. Thank you very much for the call and for your thoughts there. We're talking about whether or not the Bible requires Christian parents to spank their kids. More calls when we come back.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Fascism suffered a military defeat in World War II, but how are ideas like the disregard for moral objectivity, the exaltation of the state, and the employment of thought control still flourishing today? You can find out with our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, titled Modern Fascism, Liquidating the Judeo-Christian Worldview. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Gene Edward V. Modern Fascism is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about our Book of the Month on the web, issuesetc.org. Just click the What's New section. Richard John Newhouse writes, Modern Fascism is sure to stir controversy and a careful rethinking of the culture, politics, and spiritual forces of our time. Modern Fascism costs $17.99 plus shipping and handling. Modern Fascism, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Stuart Shepherd. There is concern in the pro-family movement that Vietnam will soon begin to get global AIDS funding from the United States. To many, that's completely unacceptable. Keith Peters explains why.
This year, Congress required a 15th country to receive global AIDS funding that is neither in Africa or the Caribbean. The country chosen is Vietnam. Connie Mackey of the Family Research Council explains why opening the funds to that country is a bad idea.
First of all, it's Vietnam, which is a Marxist country with a forced abortion policy, two-child policy.
There is also coerced sterilization there. Stephen Mosier of the Population Research Institute says one group, the Hmong, is targeted because of its past support of the United States.
Mobile sterilization teams come into their villages and sterilize all women of reproductive age without regard to how many children they have or indeed whether or not they have any children. This is a terrible human rights abuse.
Connie Mackey says another reason Vietnam should not be considered is the fact that the AIDS problem there is nowhere near as bad as in Africa.
They justify it on the basis that it was on the cusp of being a country that was going to need this funding. So it was a little far-fetched, in our opinion, and we'd like to see it rectified.
She says pro-family groups are sending a letter to the Bush administration and Secretary of State Colin Powell requesting that if money is to be spent in Vietnam, it be controlled, preferably by faith-based non-government organizations. For Family News in Focus, I'm Keith Peters in Washington.
Pro-family groups say there are a host of democracies much more deserving. Some suggest the Philippines, which is a pro-U.S. faith-friendly democracy. Others suggest Thailand, a country not far from Vietnam, that has had significant problems with AIDS. For Family News in Focus, I'm Stuart Shepard.
Issues, Etc. is underwritten in part locally by Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran is located at 5600 Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights. The Reverend Randy Emmons is the pastor. Their phone number, 618-632-6906. 632-6906. Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights. www.bethanylcms.org.
Was fascism defeated in World War II, or is it alive and well today? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for July is Modern Fascism by Dr. Jean Edward Veith. You can find out more about this book on our website, issuesetc.org. Just click the What's New section, or by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The cost is $17.99 plus shipping and handling. Modern Fascism, our book of the month.
In about an hour, we're going to begin a conversation with Phyllis Schlafly of Eagle Forum, talking about the federal marriage amendment and judicial activism. Those two things are tied together very tightly. And I'll tell you, Phyllis has got her ducks in a row on this question. She's got a new book out called The Supremacists, Judicial Tyranny, and How to Stop It. That conversation with Phyllis Schlafly begins here on Issues Etc. in about an hour, between now and then, 25 more minutes of open lines for your questions or your comments. Karen Malik will kick off the third hour of the program there to talk about a report in the British Journal of Cancer outlining a link between breast cancer and abortion. Karen Malik there at the top of the hour, there in the third hour of Issues, Etc. The question for open lines here for the remaining 25 minutes, and of course open lines is always anything you want to talk about as well. Does the Bible require Christian parents to spank their kids? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. First up in this segment, Roland is calling from his car. Roland, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
You know, I believe, from what I've been taught as a Lutheran, that we are required to raise our children in good discipline. That can mean a lot of different things. I have two kids, one that's seven and one that's three, and the two have to be treated differently. But the thing that I've been thinking about as you've been talking, the callers have been calling in, is I would have to question, just personally, when I go to spank my child, what's my motivation for doing it? Is it coming out of that sinful nature I have where it's like, I'm going to show you who's boss, you know, you ain't going to act like this around me? Or is it genuinely to teach a lesson? And unfortunately, I think more often than not, it's the former and not the latter, at least for me.
So it, rather than the kind of idealized, dispassionate, now it is time for your spanking son, Your motivation, if you're honest about it, is more often, well, to put it kind of bluntly, anger, asserting power, something like that.
Oh, sure, sure. And that's something I've had to come to terms with because, you know, being my German physiology takes me to the more extreme end of things sometimes.
Roland,
so
thanks for the call, Roland.
Sure.
I actually was looking at one of these websites on spanking, one of the websites that said it's absolutely mandatory, you must spank your children, and they even took the whole rod issue literally. You have to use a rod. Now, they said, and this is where they resorted to the amplified version, a switch-like rod. So a stick, really. Interestingly enough, they did have a little article on anger. And this one website said, it's irrelevant whether or not you're angry or not. You're supposed to spank your children, and your personal motivation is irrelevant. You're simply obeying God, and if you're angry, you're kind of absolved from all responsibility for being unduly angry with your children, which, by the way, the Bible does forbid parents to be unduly angry with their children. But they said, no, that doesn't matter. If you're spanking them, your motivation is irrelevant. I think they were dead wrong. Roland is right. Even if you were an advocate of spanking, the condition of your own heart, your own motivation, is very important. Doesn't mean the kid doesn't need to be spanked. No. But you cannot absolve yourself from sin just because, you know, there is such a thing as doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Thank you for the call, Roland. Pat is calling from St. Louis, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pat, welcome.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I'm glad to hear you talking on this, and you asked the question, is it unbiblical not to use the rod? And I'm going to say this, that I think that the Lord put that there for a good reason, not that that's what you're supposed to do is use a rod on your child every time they disbehave. But I think he put it there for this reason, because each child is different and they have different temperaments. And I know this specifically with my own children, because I had three, and the two oldest ones were, if you told them no, they were rebellious. And I did spank, but when they were little, if they reached like for a hot stove and I told them no, I'd have to quick run and get them, you know. But instead of doing that, what I did was I took their little hand and I smacked it real good so they knew that it would hurt. And then I told them it would burn you and hurt you. And you have to do these things repeatedly, because when they're little, you can't just tell them that and they're going to stop once. And then my last child, my third child, the other two, they were just something else. What one didn't think of, the other one did. And so I got to the point where I just sent them to their room. And I was busy doing something, and my youngest one came to me, and she said, Mama, you don't love me. And I said, well, what do you mean, Jennifer, I don't love you? She said, you never send me to my room. And I just looked at her, and I said, Jennifer, get to your room. And she went skipping down the hall, and she says, nah, 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 Mommy loves me too. And, I mean, you don't do it with, you know, when you're spanking your child, you don't do it in anger. If you're that angry, you better cool down. I never did that. And I don't think that's right. But I think the Lord put that in there about the rod, that there are some children that, yes, you may have to use a belt or something like that on them, because if you don't, they're going to hurt themselves or somebody else pretty bad, and they need to learn respect. And I think that the Lord put us in there as the authority over our children, because the children don't raise, if you turn it around, God didn't give the children to raise the parents.
That's for sure, Pat. Thanks. All right. You know, I'm also thinking about a passage, Romans 13. Because the whole issue of the rod keeps coming up with people. And I would point out in a previous conversation during that open lines hour that I was talking about before, I did ask the caller who was so disappointed with me, do you have a rod at home? And he said it kind of sheepishly, yes. Now, I don't know what he meant by a rod. Iron? Wood? I do not know. I do not know. But he said he had a rod at home, I assume for the purposes of disciplining the children. Well, Paul in Romans chapter 13 talks about governmental authorities. And he says of those governmental authorities, they do not bear the sword in vain. Now, it is, of course, Paul is talking about the Roman sword, no doubt about it, and the ability to punish at every level all the way up to capital punishment. That's what the sword meant in the Roman hand. But, of course, we do apply those words to modern government today. We should. And at least in our country, modern government has long ago given up the sword, the literal sword, as a means of punishment. I haven't heard Christians make the argument that in order to be biblical discipline at the civil level, we need to have people exercising and wielding swords. Right? They say, oh no, what they're talking about there is the God permits government to use force. At whatever level, to use force. Now, in Paul's day, it would have been the sword. In our day, it takes on other forms. Now, I think a good and a proper way to understand the term rod in these passages referring to corporal punishment. Is a rod being prescribed? Well, no more than a sword is being prescribed for governmental authorities to properly exercise God's authority that he's given them over you. You know, you get caught for speeding. Does that mean that the police officer should carry a sword? And while it's not a capital offense, maybe he can just cut you a little bit or jab you just a little, maybe once or twice, 25 miles over the speed limit, maybe three jabs with it. And now, if you're really guilty of some big crime, just take off your head. No. We understand that the use of force, we would say in modern parlance, he doesn't have the gun on his hip for no reason. Or the billy club. You see, in the civil, we still have corporal punishment, or at least we would call it restraint, in the civil realm as well. And most Christians are not batting an eye at that. What do the rest of you think? Give us a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you're just joining us, does the Bible require Christian parents to spank their kids? Ellen is calling from St. Louis. Hi, Ellen.
Hello. I'd like to ask a question. I don't know what to do about this. I have a neighbor that when he's angry, he loses his temper quickly. He has care of his three children during the day. If the children do not behave, he threatens to grab them at the neck. And when he does, he grabs by the forefinger and the thumb, and he squeezes. And it hurts them. And sometimes they cry. And I don't think this is any form of discipline at all. Is there anything I can do or say or interfere with that type of treatment? I've also seen him kick his little boy in the back when he got too close to his new van. And this upsets me.
Well, it upsets me just hearing about it, too, Ellen. Have you talked personally to your neighbor about this?
I've tried to, but then he gets angry with me. I'm old enough. I know how to treat my children.
Ellen, my initial reaction would be alert the authorities. I wouldn't say call the police on him. I would say alert the proper authorities so they can at least, they have their means of checking into what's going on in a family.
He seems to be a loving, caring father, other than his temper when he gets angry with the children.
That would be my best advice for you, and keep those kids in your prayers.
I do.
Absolutely. Ellen, thank you so much. Everyone's going to draw a line there. And by the way, there is a Department of Family Services that their entire task is to protect children in the context of their families from parents who are going over the line. So people draw this line. They say, well, let's say we'll just take for the sake of argument, we haven't had a lot of callers who say you must spank. But let's say there was a caller who said you must spank. Spanking? Yes. What about kicking? No. What about choking? No. Okay, so a SWAT is what God mandates here. Other forms of beating? No. We're not talking about beating with the fists. you know, that first caller that we had, I think it was Brian from Oneida. He initially directed us toward the point here being the need for Christian discipline within the family. We'll need to come back to that as our time winds down. Let's talk with Mark, who calls from his car. Mark, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Pastor Todd, there's a passage in Leviticus, and I'm sorry I can't, you know, tell you which one it is, but it says if a man's to be beaten, he's supposed to be taken before the judge. Now, I take four elements from this, is that the punishment should be dispassionate. It's got to be limited. That's one of the things that's mandated. It's never to degrade. And there's a fourth thing I'm sorry I can't remember. But I believe the passage is in Leviticus. And I always took that to be the context in which some, you know, sort of punishment was to be given. And while I again agree that the goal is discipline, I think your earlier caller really touched on this. You know, in a family there's rules. When the rules are broken, the father has to discipline. But after that, you know, there's hugs and kisses all around. And we teach our kids this way, that they repent and they know they're forgiven in Christ. And I think that has to be the ultimate context. And abuse does nothing, you know, I think, to bring a child to Christ. Because, again, as you pointed out, one of the gentlemen the other day pointed out that, you know, parents stand next to God. You know, our kids take their view of who God is from the parents. So I think punishment has to be, you know, dispassionate and limited and never to degrade or abuse the child.
Good point, Mark. Thank you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, Roland had called earlier and basically kind of brought up the dispassionate. Not that there shouldn't be passion involved. The passion ought to be a love for our children and a desire for their well-being. I love the story. I think it was Pat told that story about, you know, one of her daughters saying, "You don't love me because you never send me to my room." Most of the time in the family, it's the other way around. You don't love me, or you love me less because you punish so-and-so so much less than you punish me. You know, isn't one of the things we're trying to teach our children through discipline is that discipline has its, that proper Christian discipline in the family has its source in the parents' love for the children. And I've told my kids this before. If I didn't love you, I would let you do, I wouldn't care about you. I wouldn't take the time to correct you if I didn't love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't take the time to do discipline. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't, in a lot of cases, stay on you about this or that that doesn't seem to be getting straightened out. Jeff is calling from his car. Jeff, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor Todd. I just happened to catch the very tail end of this.
Sure.
But I was wanting to know, okay, say you got a kid who you can swat all day long and it just don't faze him. You know, he don't care. He gets a swat and goes on and does it again. Can you take the next step and give him a swat with a belt, one swat? You know, or is that too drastic?
That's a good question. Jeff, thank you.
Well, the reason why I'm wondering, you know, and I'll confess this. I, you know, when I was a kid, I used to get swats with a belt and switch, you know, whenever I deserved it, too, because I was a pretty honored kid. But I had my oldest son. He didn't care to do anything. He'd lie all through his teeth all the time. And so I finally, you know, I got tired. He's giving him swats and grounding him. It didn't faze him to do that either. So I said, all right, I'm going to give you a swat with the belt. Well, see, his mom and I was divorced, so he went and told his mom, you know, that I beat him, and then I ended up getting arrested for it.
Jeff, thank you for the call. Well, doesn't that point out one of the things? Now, this should be a separate issue, but it does point out one of the things that the Christian family faces. They say, look, okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, the Bible permits but does not mandate corporal punishment in the Christian home. Permits but does not mandate. For some reason, Christians nowadays just have lost the ability to distinguish this simple thing that there are a lot of things that the Bible permits but does not command. Okay, let's say that's the Bible's position here. Does not say anything about the implement that is used. My father, although I think he seldom used it, had a paddle from his fraternity days. He was in an engineering fraternity, and they all get a paddle. It's part of the initiation, I guess. Always had it hanging on the wall. I think more out of pride of his engineering degree than out of, you know, a threat to the kids, but always hung there on the wall. And I don't remember it coming down off the wall unless we took it down to admire it or something like that. Although I think once or twice, and I remember in school, the ping pong paddle was a particularly popular form of the swatting mechanism with some of our teachers. The ping pong paddle. And you know, they explicitly used a paddle so that there was no contact with the hand. They didn't want to be accused of any kind of inappropriate contact, and they didn't want to be accused of actually physically beating the child, so they always used the go-between, the ping-pong paddle. I was not often on the receiving end of that in school, but it did sting quite a bit. But there's the Christian who says, look, I can and I think I need to discipline my children, and they're afraid that it's going to be misinterpreted as abuse, when in fact it isn't abuse. It is proper discipline. I said at the beginning of the hour, there are teachers at your kids' schools who would probably raise their eyebrows and think about making a phone call if they found out that you spanked your kid once. I mean, I don't ask the question, does the Bible require us to discipline our children, just so that we can get an answer to whether or not it requires it or permits it. It raises, as I said at the beginning of the hour, a whole host of questions. Do you want your teachers in where your kids go to school administering corporal punishment? There are some teachers that I might say, yeah. And others I'd say, I don't think so. I had some teachers in school in high school when it was still permitted, junior high and high school, and you didn't want these guys administering corporal punishment because they didn't have an off switch. This was a Christian school. They didn't have an off switch. Once they got started, it was hard to stop them. And there were complaints, and that's when the corporal punishment stopped at school, because of a few teachers who didn't know that maybe one or two swats did the trick. What about civil authorities? Nowadays, anytime a police officer takes out his nightstick and give someone a crack on the head, it's usually captured on videotape, and it's considered unreasonable force. It is a crisis of discipline all around, isn't it? 505-7850-1800-730-2727. A few more minutes here left in open lines, issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In the next hour, coming up here at 5 o'clock, a short conversation with Wesley Smith. The word games being played by Big Biotech, Wesley Smith of the Discovery Institute. Karen Malik will join us to talk about the link between abortion and breast cancer. And we'll round off the last 25 minutes of the program talking with Phyllis Schlafly of the Eagle Forum about the federal marriage amendment and activist judges. That's the third hour of Issues, Etc. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I think we have yet to hear from anyone who says no. It's not just something the Bible permits, something the Bible requires, mandates of Christian parents, corporal punishment, spanking. Kay is calling from her car. Kay, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. We had a procedure. I'm 63 years old, so my children are long gone, but our procedure, and they knew it, that if there were rules broken that were like cheating and lying and things that were really important, we would not do it in anger, but we would wait, and then we would spank. Then we would tell them why we are giving them the spanking. Mainly was that we can't allow you to live like that in society. And so what we would do is spank, and then they had to love us, and we loved them, a hug. And, oh, my, do they hate it. But you know what? They're doing the same thing.
And you know what they look back on? I imagine if it's like my family, Kay. I talk about growing up in a family of five boys. If it's like our family, we look back on it with fondness. We didn't like the spankings, but we look back on it, and suddenly we remember that it was the way in which our parents were loving us.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we told them we loved them, and that's why we. It was important that we spanked them at this juncture.
So, Kate, where do you fall on the question of whether or not, does the scripture require spanking of Christian parents, or does it simply allow it and permit it of Christian parents?
Oh, I think it permits it. You know, it's up to you, because some children will not be disciplined in that way. Others are. Other children have other ways of dealing with them, and a spanking's not going to do it. So you have to use other means, but I think the scripture allows us to use spanking as a means.
Kay, thank you very much. That seems to be the consensus here. I'm glad to hear it, though. I'm glad to hear that being the consensus. Truth is not formed from consensus, by the way. No more than if we would have done this during a different hour and everyone would have said, no, the Bible requires spanking. Truth does not come from consensus. Truth exists apart from what we all, can all agree upon. A couple minutes here to round this out. First of all, I said this before about the whole meaning of the word rod, because that plays into these proverbs we've been talking about that Christians sometimes misinterpret as saying, well, we're required to spank our kids rather than permitted to spank our kids. Same thing with the death penalty. God's word certainly permits government to have the death penalty when justly administered. Does not require the government to have the death penalty. Again, it's a distinction that gets lost on a lot of Christians. They can't think in terms other than, well, if it's somehow permitted, it must be commanded. No, there's an awful lot of things in the Christian's life that are permitted but not commanded. Permitted but not commanded. Now, in my answer to the whole question of the rod, same thing about what Paul talks about with the sword. In the civil realm, he talks about the sword being the implement of discipline in the Roman world, and we very easily understand that to mean that the government has authority to use force. Same thing with the rod. The parent does have authority to use force. Sometimes that may be a spanking. Sometimes it may be taking your kid by the ear. Sometimes it may be taking them by the shoulders and leading them firmly to their room. Sometimes it might mean, maybe even in extreme cases, calling the police to go pick them up. That's force. And the parent has not only the right and the permission, but also the privilege of that. I want you to think about this also in these terms. Jesus Christ bore physical punishment for us at the cross, so that this punishment is now all transformed into God's loving discipline. When we come back, Wesley Smith will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.